Good Monday morning, everyone. My name is Will Harris, and I'll be spending just a few minutes each morning this week discussing spiritual things as we start each morning off. Now, as often the case, what I want to talk about this week is inspired by what I've been reading and studying personally. My wife and I have recently finished reading through the book of Acts in our own Bible reading, and I've also been taking some time to do some personal study in the book of Romans. One thing that's really impressed me as I've read through this time was what an impressive man Paul was, and how relevant so many of the events in his life are to us today. Paul's a man who went through some nearly unbelievable trials and hardships in his life. There are times that his story reads like the plot of a movie or a novel. But far from fictional, Paul actually lived all these events. And for what reason? For the gospel of Jesus Christ. That answer actually ends up being very critical to every topic this week. Now, I want to set up the rest of this week by presenting what the gospel of Jesus is, using Paul's own words. We are going to see that throughout Paul's life, the gospel is both his motivation for pressing on through all his hardships and his answer to the challenges he faces. So what is the gospel then? For the answer to that, let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is writing here to the Corinthian church and reminds them of the gospel that he's already presented to them. We're picking up now in verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you were being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. And so here Paul distills the gospel down into 3 points, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. Now let's break each of these points down for just a minute. First, Christ died for our sins. This means, of course, that he first came to earth and lived here as we live. We know that Christ, as the Son of God, is eternal and has been in heaven with the Father from the very beginning. Paul talks about this when he writes to the Philippians and says in Philippians 2, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now the second point here, he was buried. This may seem like a trivial point, but I think there are a couple of important takeaways here. There were and still are many who want to deny Jesus, that would like to discount or discredit his resurrection. Paul asserts here that Jesus definitely was dead and was buried in the earth for 3 days after being bound with linen. This burial ends up being very important for us as Christians also, because we have a part in this as we become a Christian through baptism. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 6, picking up here at the end of verse 3. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death." Skipping down here a couple of verses. "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So, in baptism, we symbolically put to death the old man that lived for sinful earthly things and bury him just as Christ was buried." And finally, the third point, that Christ was raised on the third day. And this is perhaps the most crucial point so far. As incredible as the previous two parts have been, they still don't help us if Christ was not able to overcome death. This is really the point that Paul is making in 1 Corinthians 15. He affirms here to the Corinthians that Christ is raised, and therefore we will too. Picking up here again in 1 Corinthians 15. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." Now skipping down a couple of verses. "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." And so we'll stop here today, but I hope you can join me again tomorrow as we begin to examine how the gospel that we have looked at today influenced Paul to do some incredible things. Have a great day, everybody.